This is a reading from Corinthians 13:1-7. We've all heard it before, but today as I was practicing it, it spoke very heavily to me. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and I understood all of God's secrets, secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance.
So how important are friendships to you? How important are friendships to you? In a room this size, we may all say that friendships are important to us, because we think that's the right answer. But we'd probably all be on a continuum. Some really believe friendships are important, and others, not so much. Take, for example, Dave Bautista. Some of you might recognize him as a wrestler or a movie star. And he said this about relationships in his life. He said, actors and people who are in the film business in general are all going to work for 6 or 7 months at a time. He said, it's just, relationships are just, I can't hold down a relationship. My last wife and I were together for 9 years, but we just grew apart. You know, we were just really distant. We were going different directions in our life. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad provider. I'm not an unfaithful person. I'm just never home. So that's where I'm at. He says, it's a sacrifice that I've made, and it's a sacrifice that I'm willing to live with. It's because I won't accept less than making the most I can out of my life. And then he ends with this. He says, I am so lonely, but if just living a lonely existence is that sacrifice, then it's a price I'm willing to pay. What's he saying? He's saying, my self-fulfillment comes first. And this is just one of the barriers that you and I face to having deep relationships. It is the individualism that we swim in our culture. And we are starting a new series today, Strengthening Church Relationships. This is what our elders of our church have said is to be an emphasis in our church right now. Now, the church has always been about a relationship with God. Always. But our individualism has led us to think that Christianity is a solo player game. We talk about my relationship with Jesus as if our Father who is in heaven is about me. And we can only have strong church relationships if we know and depend deeply on God. Amen? Now, we are in this series going to be introduced to several necessities for life-giving friendships from the Bible. Strong relationships, by the way, are God's idea, not Knack's idea. So that's the goal. Now, hear me correctly before we get into this series. My goal for you, and my goal for me, and God's goal for us, is not that we would have acquaintances, or buddies, or casual friendships in the church. God wants you and I to have life-giving, soul-feasting, spirit-gulping friendships. And this series is going to help you create, maintain, and grow the relationships that this world is starving for right now. And when we are all done this series, We are going to compile each week one sentence in what I'm calling the friendship covenant. And it's going to be something that you and I can look at on a regular basis. Because here's the thing. And if you remember anything from today, remember what I'm about to say. If you want good friends, be a good friend. Now, I want you to consider this before we begin. Many of us would say friendships are deeply important to us, but are we willing to do what it takes to make them what God intended them to be? Let's first talk about our design as human beings. God is community. Did you know that? Father, Son, and Spirit. Before there was anything, there was community. And God designed us for community. We humans function best in community. Yet our world is lonely, especially here in the West. And why? Well, Dave Bautista gave a reason. Our self-fulfillment. And I wonder how many of us kind of feel the same. When it comes to relationships, really, it's about my comfort. It's about what I want. So our habits, our hobbies, our achievements, our so-called freedom, we look with more fondness at than our forever family, our church. We may tell ourselves we follow Jesus and ignore the friendship covenant that he has provided, the roadmap he's given us to life-giving relationships. Our challenge this morning is this. We all want a church of oneness, do we not? We all want the church of oneness. We all want life-giving relationships. Are we willing to let the Spirit work in our hearts to have that oneness, to have these relationships? That's the question. Now, some of you might be thinking, what a waste of our time. Look, Pastor, clearly you're a little out of touch, because here's the thing. People are not that lonely. We're just fine. So you got another series hanging around? You got something else to talk about? Because I got things to do, right? So how bad is the situation that we're in? Let me tell you a little bit about our culture right now. 61% of adults say they battle loneliness on a regular basis. Think about how many adults that is in this room right now. 61% battling loneliness on a regular basis. So what do? We go to social media. And we go to Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and X and that sort of thing. And yet studies tell us the more time you spend on these things, the lonelier you become. We know this, right? Did you know this? And I didn't know this until I did some looking into this. Did you know that teens today spend an hour less time with each other than they did when I was a kid? An hour less. That's a lot. And yet, they report greater loneliness than any other previous generation. Think about the dilemma our young people are in right now. As a result, 72% of teens have used AI companions. For those of you who've never heard of such a thing, AI can mimic friendship with you. Over half of our kids are using them regularly. And get this, one-third of them report these conversations are more satisfying than real human beings. And do you know why they're more satisfying? Because AI will tell you whatever you want to hear. They'll tell you are brilliant. Everything you think of is great. They won't challenge you. They won't be difficult with you. They won't contradict you. No wonder they enjoy these conversations so much. Stats Can says that from 1986 to 2022, our time spent with friends has declined in all age groups. In 1986, 47.9% of Canadians saw a friend on an average day. In 2022, that was 19.3%. Think of the drop. Now get this. 20% of men reported getting emotional support from a friend in the past week. 20%. Women was 40%. So you see that this loneliness epidemic is worse for men than it is for women, generally speaking. And people are so lonely, they're turning to AI bots for romance. Even desiring to marry them in certain extreme cases. If you have not heard of that, please don't go searching the internet to find out too much about that. And the effect on our health. Loneliness is having an effect on our health. Did you know this? That loneliness increases your chances of dying early by 32%. You know, we talk about the effects of what we're eating and exercise. We almost never talk about the effects of loneliness and what we're going to do about that. In short, all of this is to show you we are lonely. And the Bible presents a plan for oneness, instructions to create, maintain, and grow life-giving relationships within a church context. God's plan is for community, which replicates the oneness of God himself. And in this series, I hope that you will hear this plan and breathe in those instructions. And for those of you right now who are relationally rich, I hope there's still room for improvement. For those of you who are on the lonelier end, I hope that this series will bring you joy and hope in your future. There is an old saying, everyone wants to have a village, but no one wants to be a villager. Everyone wants friendships, but are we willing to be a good friend? Are we willing to do what it takes to cast aside our isolating, self-fulfilling culture and experience true community? Because if you want good friends, you need to be a good friend. All right. So today, for our first instruction, we are going to start with the basic building block of any deep relationship, and that is love. Love. Jesus said, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is a clear command in the New Testament. It is one of the most often repeated commands in the New Testament. 16 times the New Testament says the same thing. And the Bible lifts up the value of loving your church far more than the value of loving your spouse or your friends or anyone else combined. The Bible keeps telling us, love your church. Love your church. So how important does the Bible say loving each other is? Let's do a quick survey. First of all, we find out love completes God's law. Paul writes to the Romans, love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. He writes to the Corinthians, love makes it difficult to divide the church. He says, while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Number three, miraculous church work is worthless without love. We heard this just a few minutes ago. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. That's how important love is. You can be a superstar in the church, and if you don't have love, you're doing nothing. Sobering, no? Love is our top priority. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, let love be your highest goal. That's how important it is. Number five, to follow Christ, we must love. Live a life filled with love, Paul writes to the Ephesians from jail. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Number six, love is the secret to church oneness. He writes to the Colossians, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And finally, number seven, love keeps us together after hurts. This is Peter now. He writes, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. How many hurts do people hang on to in church because of lack of love? It divides us. But love binds us together. And you'll note, love in all these examples is not a feeling. The Bible doesn't command you to have affection for your church family. Feelings come and go. I don't know about you. Some days I don't even feel like getting up out of bed in the morning. Right? But we are still commanded to love our church family. It's an action. And our entire culture agrees that love is supreme. But we starkly disagree on what love actually is. In our culture, love is seen as agreement, as in pleasure giving or unconditional affirmation of someone else's choices. That's love. And that's why people get so nervous when a pastor such as myself starts emphasizing love. Because they think, well, we still got to tell them the truth. Look, Jesus was the most loving person to ever walk the planet. And he told the truth. He didn't love us and tell the truth. He loved us by telling us the truth. Understand? Being truthful is part of love. Biblical love requires truth. Now, if we are going to love each other the way God loved us, the way Christ loved us, what does that look like? Well, go back to these two words, which you may have heard me speak of before. In the Old Testament, the love of God was described often as hesed in Hebrew. And hesed is in the Old Testament. If you find it, you'll find it translated often in your Bibles as faithful love. But hesed is a covenantal, devoted, exclusive, loyal, faithful, committed love. And notice, love is a choice. When God makes the decision to love, you can't shake him off. When I was a teenager, I was at summer camp one time, and they offered water skiing as part of the deal. Not bad, eh? Good camp. It was only 1 year. And I remember I was a little nervous, you know, learning how to water ski, but the guy gave us these instructions, and I still to this day remember his instructions because they seemed so weird to me. He said, when you're out water skiing and you crash, and you will crash, you just wanted to put that out there. Now, you're smart. This group is smart. When you crash water skiing, what's the first thing you should do? What? Let go of the rope. He had to tell us that because sometimes you hit the water and you panic and you grip onto that thing with all your might and then you get dragged through the water. It's terrible. Let go of the rope. Hesed, God's love in Hesed is him not letting go of the rope. He hangs on. And in fact, if you look at the Old Testament is one long story of God not letting go of the rope. That's Hesed. And God kept hanging on to the rope, crash after crash after crash. Agape, on the other hand, in the New Testament, it's a Greek word. And Jesus told us we are to agape each other, just as I have agaped you. Agape is a sacrificial love. It is selfless. It is without expectation of anything in return. So, to have life-giving friends, we all need to be transformed so that we can love them. This happens, by the way, if you have not received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, if you have not turned from your sins and made him Lord of your life, this is where you begin. You have to become a follower of Jesus. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit starts working in our lives. And as we cooperate with him, he rids us of our modern idol of self-fulfillment over connection. He gives us a whole new set of values if we welcome his work. Turning from our selfishness and will make you a more loving friend, a more loving person in the church. Now let's talk specifics. If you were to practice, let's say, if you were to practice hesed in the church. If you were to practice this loyal, persistent, devoted, covenantal love, what would that look like? Let's talk about that. First of all, it said, number one, you would forgive quickly and thoroughly. In a church, in a marriage, in a family, in a friendship, it doesn't matter who you're dealing with, you are going to get hurt. You will be disappointed. But accounts must be kept short. Forgiveness, by the way, starts as a decision. And I would encourage you, and the Bible encourages you, make that decision quickly to forgive. And then you can start the process of forgiveness. The process of forgiveness may include dozens and dozens and dozens of decisions to forgive. That's chesed. Second thing, choose and then stay. Now, if you're new to Nanaimo, you may take a while to find a church that kind of fits what you believe. And I encourage you to do that. I also encourage you not to take too much time doing that. Because you could spend years wandering around from church to church. But when you find that church, choose to stay and invest fully in the people. Let others leave, but you stay. And this pays off in relational depth over time. In other words, hang on to the rope. Don't let go. Number three, express devotion. Now, in a church, there's a number of ways that you can express devotion to your church family. You can become a member. You can get involved in service. You can pray for them. You can offer your testimony to them. You can give them words of affirmation. Let your church know you are devoted to them, that you are with them. Don't assume they know. You know how this goes in marriage, right? I told you I loved you when we got married, so we're good, right? And we often think that same thing in our church. I told you once I'm with you, you should be good now, right? No. Why would we want to express devotion? Because it blesses them. It encourages them. There's a little part of us, in all of us, that's afraid to really invest in someone if we think that they've got one foot out the door. Nod your head with me if you understand what I'm saying. I mean, that's true of friendships. That's true of anyone in our lives. If you think they're kind of one foot out the door, how much do you really want to invest in them? You're scared. You're going to get hurt. So when someone comes and they repeat time and time again, I'm with you. I'm for you. I will not let go of the rope. It makes you feel safer to invest in them. And this is why we say I love you. Not just once, but numerous times. So that's chesed. That's what chesed could look like at Nanaimo Alliance Church. Those are the things that you could do to practice chesed. Now, if we are to love with agape, the Greek word in the New Testament, that sacrificial, selfless choice that expects nothing in return, what could that look like in the church? So here we go. Here's some ideas for agape. Go when you don't want to. All of us can be busy. All of us can be hurt or scared or depressed or ashamed. Go anyway. Go, thank you, tired. Yes, good example. Go to a service, go to your life group, go to a hymn sing, go to a seminar, go to the International Workers Gathering, go to Loaves and Fishes, but go. Go when you don't want to. And it's when you don't want to, that's when you need to go the most. That is agape. You understand? Agape isn't going when you feel like it. You already feel like it. That's not sacrificial. It's sacrificial when you don't feel like going and you go anyway because you want to bless other people. This encourages those around you. Don't underestimate your presence. Agape love screams out, it's not about you. Second thing in agape, if we want to spread agape through Nanaimo Alliance Church, here's the second one. Give when you don't want to. Offer the church your time, your resources, your prayers, your encouragement, your spiritual gift, your energy, your enthusiasm, your faith. You may not want to give these things. Give them anyway. Agape is sacrificial. God doesn't stand around saying, boy, do I feel like blessing my people today? I don't know. I'm not sure I'm in the mood. Right? That's not how he treats us. That's why he said, treat others the way I have treated you. Love others the way I have loved you. He agapes us. We are to agape each other. And that's only possible when we are truly sacrificing, when it costs us something. Because deep relationships will cost you something. Number three, build up when you don't want to. You can build others up in the church by encouraging them, by welcoming them, by listening to them, by counseling them, by praying with them, visiting them, offering a word of scripture. Become a mentor, become a life group leader, a youth worker, a kids church worker. Build others up. And every time you invite people to follow Jesus, you're infusing truth into that relationship. And it's one of the greatest ways to build up the people around you. And you may not always feel like it. Do it anyway. Now, I'm not suggesting that you burn yourself out. Because if that's how you're reading what I'm saying, rethink it. I'm saying, if you can, do. If you can, do. We all have limits on our energy. I get that. And sometimes I think we can do more than we think we can. And sometimes I think we're overstretching ourselves. So I don't know what's right for you. I just know agape love says you sacrifice. It costs. And if we are going to have close relationships as a church, it will require cost to all of us. So, in conclusion, if you want to have good friends, if you want to build oneness in the church, you will need to practice love, hesed and agape, loyalty and sacrifice. So, the first item on our friendship covenant, are you ready? This is going to be a good list from this series, I think. I'm looking forward to this. I don't even know what this is going to look like by the end. But here's the first one. I will choose to stand by you and sacrifice for you. I will choose to stand by you and sacrifice for you. Step number one, basic building block for strong friendships. Anything less than this, by the way, just leads to loneliness. Both hesed and agape are choices. To stand by you, that's hesed. To not let go of the rope. To put your needs first, that's sacrifice. That's agape. To give when I don't feel like it. I will choose to stand by you and put your needs first. Now, this is our first lesson together in how to build strong relationships. We're at the ground level of building deep oneness in our church. And yes, I know that there's great relationships already in our church. I get that. I'm glad for you. Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm talking to the 61% of us who are lonely. Okay? Now, there's a part in each one of us. It's called the sinful nature. It doesn't want to do what God wants you to do. And your sinful nature right now is telling you, this is not going to be worth it. You're fine. And you can simply run or withdraw when things get difficult. You should look out for yourself first. That's what your sinful nature is telling you right now. If you're hearing that voice right now, just telling you where that's coming from. It's not coming from God. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can change the voices that say these things. I will choose to stand by you and put your needs first. Jesus prayed that NAC and all his church would be one. So how are we contributing to that oneness? People with good friends generally are good friends. People who are dearly loved most often dearly love. Because if you want good friends, be a good friend. So this morning we learned, if you want people to be loyal to you, guess what? Practice chesed. Practice loyalty. If you want people to, you know, drop everything that they're doing and come and help you, guess what we need to do for them? Drop everything and be sacrificial for them. Will I cooperate with the Holy Spirit so that love for our church takes a high priority? This leads us nicely to the Lord's table. If you were serving at the Lord's table this morning, I'm going to ask you to get up and make your way to your station. As we look at 1 John 4, 10 and 11, says this. This is real love, not cultural love. This is the real thing right here. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, and so this is what happened. Now the conclusion. Dear friends, since God, and by the way, he's using the word agape here. Since God agaped us that much, we surely ought to agape each other. It's the logical conclusion. This is what God has done for you and for me. This is what we need to do for each other. We cannot know love without the cross. Chesed, loyalty. He could have given up on us. He could have let go of the rope and said, you know, humanity's so messed up. I'm done with them. I'm going to go start a planet over here somewhere. He could have. Would have been within his right. But he didn't let go of the rope. The cross is him not letting go of the rope. That's chesed. Agape, sacrifice. I don't need to touch on this. Anyone who's thought more than 5 seconds about what a crucifixion looks like understands sacrifice that was made for us. So here's God showing both chesed and agape at the cross. And he says, since I've loved you this much, since this is what I've done for you, this is what you need to do for each other. Look around this room. This is what you need to do for the people in this room. Chesed, loyalty, agape, sacrifice. That's what it takes. If you want to have a church of oneness, contribute to it. If you want to have great friends, be a great friend. His love for us is the basis of how we are to treat each other. And I guarantee this is an area of growth for all of us. Myself included. We're all in this together. A test of maturity in Christ is not how much you know. It's not how many verses you can quote or how many ministries you're involved in. It's, do they treat their church with chesed and agape, with loyalty and sacrifice? You want to find the most mature among you? They are displaying chesed and agape on a regular basis. And I know some of you do. I'm not here to tell you, boy, what a bunch of failures. I know there's people in this room who are nailing this. And I thank God for that transformation that he's done inside of you. And I pray that you would continue to mature and grow in that. And maybe for others in this room, we need to repent. Because up until this point, we've been selfish. We've been self-fulfilling, self-indulgent. Individualism has swept over us and we've bought in. And we said, it's all about me. And church, well, that's just an activity I do for an hour on Sunday morning when I feel like it. Missed Christianity altogether, if that's where we're at. Being a follower of Jesus means seeking him together. We need each other. And God wants us to be close to each other. So what I'm going to get you to do is I'm going to get, if you are a follower of Jesus this morning and you've repented of your sins, you've put your faith in Jesus, God bless you. You're going to get up out of your seat and you're going to go to the station that's closest to you. There's three of them. You're going to get a cracker representing Christ's body. You're going to get some juice representing the blood of the new covenant. And you're going to come back and you're going to sit in your seat and we are going to remember his hesed and his agape together. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, don't worry. You don't need to participate in this. You can just maybe think about what's been said here today. And maybe listen. Maybe God's saying something to you. Maybe God's inviting you into a community, a kingdom, to belonging that you've never experienced before. And if you can't get up out of your chair, just put your hand up and someone will come to you. Okay, let's do this together. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for the chesed you showed, that amazing loyalty to us. You did not let go of the rope. And we are also grateful for your agape, that sacrificial, others-focused love that you displayed for us. You put us first. And so, God, as we think of the sacrifice you made for us, help us to think of the sacrifice we are called to make for each other. The depth of devotion, the depth of loyalty and sacrifice you have called us to in regards to our church family. This was your idea. This is the community you want to build. These are the standards you have set. So I pray, God, that in Nanaimo Alliance Church, we would settle for nothing less. That we would allow your Holy Spirit to transform us into people who are intensely loyal and also abundantly sacrificial. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your body that was broken on our behalf. Everyone take and eat. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood of the new covenant that sets us free. That sets us free to practice both chesed and agape. Thank you, Jesus. Take and drink.